When Paul wrote to Timothy in in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he gave this command from God. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The word of God commands every child of God to be strong in the grace of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the scripture commands, grow in grace. Now that command to be strong in grace and to grow in grace, to those of you here that have studied the words, you know they're written in the continuum. This isn't something you do once. This is something we're to do and we're to keep on doing. I love the definition for grace that I learned in Sunday school. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is the power by the grace of God on which everything in the Christian life is suspended. And I ask you tonight, how strong are you in the grace? If we were to say tonight, we need someone here who is strong in the grace, would that person be you? Now, in the scriptures, it's amazing how many times the word of God commands us to grace. Romans 1:7, grace to you and peace from God. Romans 16, verse 20, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace be unto you. 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace be to you. Galatians 1:3, grace be to you. Ephesians 1:2, grace be to you. Philippians 1:2, grace be unto you. Colossians 1:2, grace be unto you. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, grace be unto you. 2 Thessalonians 1:2, grace be unto you. 2 Timothy 1:2, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. 2 Timothy 1:2, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Titus 1:4, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Philippians 1:3, grace to you. 1 Peter 1:2, grace unto you. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. 2 John 1:3, grace be with you. Revelation 1:4, grace be unto you. How is it that the word of God commands so repetitively grace to you? Now, I've got to confess to you that many times when I have read this, I just thought that was salutary language. That was just something that they said to get intro to the book. But there is no salutary language with God. God commands you and I to have his grace. And we're to be strong in the grace, and we're to grow in the grace. Now in Acts chapter 4, we read of a church in verse 33 that had this. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And say out loud the next two words. Great grace was upon them all. This is speaking of the church that Peter and John were there with. And God says this church had great grace. I wonder if the Lord looked at me, whether he'd say, David Gibbs has got great grace. If the Lord looked at you, would he say, that man, that woman has great grace? And if you were to catalog your factor of grace on a 0 to 10 scale, with 0 not being good and 10 being biblically exemplary, where would you be? Would you be able to say, by God's grace, I have great grace? I promise you right now, in our America, the world's watching to see what the Christians have or what the Christians don't have. I was talking with a judge one day, a federal judge, and he said, David, I want to ask you a question. Do I understand right that you and your people as Christians have an all-powerful God? I said, that's correct. And you have a God who loves you? I said, that's exactly right. And a God who has promised to take care of you? I said, that's right. And a God who has promised to give you ability and power to do everything he's commanded you to do? I said, Judge, you've been listening good. You got it right. He said, well, I've been watching. And he said, if you got an all-powerful God, why is it that the Christians go to pieces and fall apart over everything that everybody else does? He said, now, I don't have that God. But he said, I would think if you did have that God and you really believed that he has those abilities, that would change everything, don't you think? I said, Judge, you're spot on. And I said, can I ask you a question? When you look at me, do you see somebody in your presence here who has what you're talking about? Do you have it? Do you have great grace? Now, when we read Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us that this church did three things. And I want you to mark these three things in your scripture because I believe God wants us to have great grace. You know the story of Acts 4. Peter and John have gone into the temple to pray. And while they're in the temple to pray, they come across a man that needs to be healed. And by the majesty of God, the healing power of God, he is healed. And immediately the authorities got all riled up and ran to him and said, in whose name did you do this? Who gave you the authority to do this? And Peter and John said, well, we're only too glad to tell you. We did it in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the man you crucified, the man you put on a cross. Then you put him in a tomb, and 3 days later he rose again. We did it in his name. And that infuriated them. Can I tell you what I see across America? They want to talk to you until you start talking about Jesus. And then they get upset. Well, they immediately commanded them not to use that name anymore. They said, we don't want you talking that way. Now, you got to remember, these authorities were the ones who had the power to put him to death. They had the power to scourge him. They had the power to incarcerate him. These authorities had a lot of punch. But what they did was they locked Peter and John up overnight. And when they let him out in the morning, they threatened him again. And they said, now, whatever you do, no more of this. Absolutely no more. And starting at verse 23, we see exactly what Peter and John did. And being let go, they went to their own company, the church, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now, starting at verse 24 and going to verse 28, you meet God's first point. If you want great grace, you have to be a person of great praise. You have to be a person who is going to praise God greatly. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, and by the way, circle the word Lord there. The word Lord there was the word for the all-powerful God. Thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You know what they did? They said, God, you're 100% in control. And they cannot do one thing to us that you're not in control of. How good is your praise? How good are you at praising God? Now, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. How many of you here have breath? Hold your hand up, would you? How many of you wish the guy next to you had a little less breath? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I don't know how to explain this, but the Christians are praising God less and less. And the infidels and all the cults and all the false religions are more excited about their faith than they've ever been. How good are you at praising God? We had some pastors come to see us on legal matters from England. And they'd been in America for about a month. And they said, can we tell you something sort of not good about what we've seen in the churches in America? I said, sure, what? They said, when your people sing, they sing like they don't like it. They sing like they'd be just as happy if you didn't sing. Don't they understand that they're not singing to each other? They're singing to God. When this marvelous song leader stands up here and leads us, we're not singing for the benefit of each other. You're standing in the throne room of God, and you're singing to Him. And I wonder if you can say, oh man, tonight when I sang with everything I had. I mean, I poured it all out. Because it would be a sin to sing half-hearted. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. My law partner, Charlie Craze, for 25 years, loved to praise God. When we'd be in church, he'd get singing. And he sang so loud, and he had a problem. He would sing a perfect half note off. Perfect. And he would get a whole part of the church a half note off. And 20 times, Dr. Van Gelderen, I've seen the choir leader say, hold it, hold it, hold it, let's stop. Let's go to the key he's in. And the minute they do that, he goes another half note off. And I said, Charlie, you're messing it all up. He said, I know, but I love it. He said, I love to praise Him. When's the last time in your heart you said, boy, don't stop now. I want to praise Him. Or do we have to pull it out of you? Whoa. I was in an all-black church, a wonderful church. And while I was at this church, it dawned on me there's about 2,000 or 2,500 people there. This is the only time this ever happened. I was the only person in that whole congregation not of color. So I'm sitting up here by myself in this wonderful group of people, and a black lady comes in and sits down on the front row next to me, and we kind of nod at each other. And finally, she looks over at me, and she said something. She said, what are you doing here, white boy? Now, in my whole life, I've never been called white boy. And it startled me. She was friendly. She was nice. But she said, what are you doing here, white boy? I said, well, white boy's going to preach. She looked at me and she said, "Isn't that a hoot?" I said, "You know what? I agree with you. That is a hoot." She says, "You got the stuff, white boy?" I said, "I beg your pardon." She said, "Don't play stupid." She said, "You know exactly what I mean." She said, "You either got the stuff or you don't got the stuff. And if you don't got the stuff, you stay sitting right down here and let somebody get up there that's got the stuff. Because if the preacher don't have the stuff, then we've not been to church." So she says, "You got the stuff, yes or no, white boy?" I thought, white boy's got the stuff. I don't know what to say. And right now I'm praying for more of it. She said, "They tell you how we do things here?" I said, no, they haven't. Oh, she said, "Well, you're going to love it." She said, "First thing we do is we sing for about 2 hours." I said, "You sing for 2 hours? Oh," she said, "yeah, it's wonderful." She said, "Get your heart all ready." She said, "It drives the devil crazy." And she said, "It drives the carnal Christians crazy." She said, "Man, when you sing for 2 hours, you can tell where people are with God." Whoa. She said, "You love to sing, don't you, white boy?" I said, "Yeah, I'm loving it more. I'm telling you, yeah." Next thing she said, "Then we have testimonies where you confess sin." I said, "Oh." She said, "Yeah, people stand up and, man, they confess sin because the Bible said if you're not right with man, you're not right with God. You know that's in the book, white boy?" I said, "Yeah, that's one I've read, yeah." She said, "2 weeks ago we had a guy, he tried to blow the chief of police car up. Tried to dynamite it, only it went off too soon. He come forward, got saved, and confessed. We all took him down to the police station and turned him in." She said, "You committed any crimes, white boy?" I didn't say it out loud, but I said, "None I'm talking about this morning, man. I'll be down at the Hooskow." Now she said, "When we sing, I need for you to move over a little bit." I said, "Somebody's coming?" She said, "No." But she said, "When I sing, I need a little room." Little did I know, that precious black lady was going to change my life forever. She started singing, and her spirit pulled me in. I'm watching her sing praise to God. And I'm like, "God, I won't be like her." Listen to that. Would anybody want to be like you if they listened to you praise God? Whoa. You want great grace? Great grace comes from great praise. I'm telling you, that lady was crying. I was crying. Because that lady wasn't singing to me. She was singing to God. And if you were singing right tonight, you were singing to him. Whoa. Finally, the pastor called me up and he said, "I saw you talking to Sister Abby. I said, is that her name? He said, yeah, that's Sister Abby. I said, wow. I said, preacher, I don't know much about her, but I tell you this, I want to be like her. That woman has something. The way she praises God, she's singing with all her heart, all her soul, all her mind, all her strength. He said, yeah. Did she tell you any of her testimony? I said, no. So she didn't tell you what happened to her husband and her two junior high boys? I said, no, she didn't. He said, Brother Gibbs, a year ago, they went down to the bus stop. 6:45 in the morning, the boys are going to get on a city bus to go to school, and her husband catches a city bus to go to work. And a gang pulls up, and shotguns come out. And they shot her two boys to death, and they shot her husband to death. Then unthinkably, he said, they got out of the car, and they went over. They blew the boys' heads off. When we buried them, we had no heads. She didn't tell you that? I said, no. All I know is I want to praise God like she does. Did she tell you she's got stage 5 cancer? And no money for medicine? I said, no. He said, Brother Gibbs, nothing stops her from praising the Lord. Amen. You want to know how good a Christian you are? What does it take to make you not praise him? Can I remind you, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we're going to have God's power, if we're going to have great grace, we got to be the people of great praise. Have your kids heard you praise them at home? How many of you have children? Hold your hand up. How many of you figured out kids are God's little spies? How many of you know that? Oh, yeah, they know. They know whether mom and dad praise God or not. Have you ever led your family in praise? Well, Brother Gibbs, I'm not a good singer. You don't have to be a good singer. You just have to be a faithful singer. They had great grace because they had great praise. Verse 29 is the second thing they had. Number one, they had great praise. Number two, they were bold in their witness. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. This, by the way, is the verse my mother gave me when I graduated from law school. And I've recited this verse 1,000 times in courtrooms across America. Grant that thy servant with all boldness may speak thy word. How bold are you? It's a strange thing. All these perverse groups have come out of the closet, and the Christians have gone into the closet. I am so excited for the commitments that were made in this marvelous conference. Because if the statistics are right, and in our lawsuits they sure seem to be, less than 6% of the people in a Bible fundamental church ever witness. And less than 3% ever try personally to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. When's the last time you personally tried to lead someone to Christ? How bold are you in your witness? I got a call from a pastor, and he said, I need your help, Brother Gibbs. Up in New England, he said, they've passed a law to make it illegal for me to witness and hand out tracts. I said, preacher, it's not against you. We're running into these everywhere. We're defeating them. It's unconstitutional. Don't take it personal. He said, no, this one is personal. I said, what makes you think it's personal? He said, when they passed it, they pointed at me, and they said, this is to stop him. And he said, when they point at you and say that, it's hard not to take it personal. I said, I believe you, but that's just hard to imagine. I said, let me call the AG up there, the Attorney General. Let me find out. Man, I got a hold of the lawyers up there, and I said, hey, this preacher thinks you passed this law just to stop him. And you know what the lawyer said? We did. I said, you can't do that. He said, look, Mr. Gibbs, we know who you are. We've checked you. You're going to come up here and get this reversed, but we're just trying to slow him down. By the way, would anybody have to pass a law to slow you down? Or will we just do it for free? He said, have you ever met the man? I said, no, I've never met him. He said, well, here's my definition. He's like Superman on steroids. I said, what do you mean? They said, he hands out personally, one man, 400 gospel tracts a day, each and every day. And he's trying to win everybody to get saved. Now he said, before he came up here, these were his words, we were happy. But then this preacher showed up, and now everybody's worried about whether they're going to go to hell or not. And he said, then to top it all off, he won the Catholic priest to Christ. Amen. So the Catholic priest is now a Baptist. And he said, you can't believe how upset we are. I called the preacher back and I said, you're right, it's personal. No question about it. I said, I'll be up there, we'll get this reversed. Oh, he said, thank you, thank you. I arrived at the airport and, boy, when I got off the plane and came to where they could greet you, here was a fellow with a card with my name on it. The church had sent him, and bless their heart, I don't know what they were thinking. The guy was all hunched over. I mean, he's looking at me like this. When he walks, he's dragging his legs. And his hands are all gnarled up. And I came out, and he said, you're David Gibbs? I said, yeah. Oh, he said, I'm here to get you. Now, he said, you go on down by the bags. He said, it'll take me a while to get there. I said, no, I'll walk with you. He said, I don't walk too good. I said, that's all right, come on. And I'm telling you, he's just, we're going like this. He said, can I rest 1 minute? I said, sure. Now we get down by the bags, and he said, I wish I could handle the bag for you, but I can't, my hands don't work. I said, you know, don't you worry a bit. I am so thankful that I got to meet you. I said, between you and me, I want to talk to the pastor about you should do something else. This is too challenging for you physically. Preacher shouldn't have you do it. That dear man looked up at me like this, and he said, Brother Gibbs, I am the pastor. I said, you're Superman? He said, Brother Gibbs, these were his words. You can tell I'm very damaged goods. He said, my whole life, nobody wanted me. If there were ever teams, nobody wanted me. But he said, when I got saved for the first time, somebody wanted me. And somebody put me on their team. I said, how do you hand out tracts? He said, every morning they load my fingers with stickum. That way I can touch them. And he said, the wonderful thing is people will always take it from you because they feel guilty if they don't. And he said, you know what I found? All you have to do is be bold. I looked at him and I said, God, you should have given him my hands. You should have given him my legs. You should have given him my back. How about you? What would it take for you to get bold? Bold in handing it out. The next morning at the motel, he'd already been there. He gave tracts to everybody. And he said, I love it being on God's team. Can I ask you this question? Whose team are you on? If you're on the Lord's team, then we follow the calls he makes. And boy, you've eloquently heard the calls testified in the great preaching you heard today. We're here to be a witness. Bold. A black pastor friend of mine and I, we were going to travel together. And he touched my life. He said, David, I'll get our tickets all lined up, our seat assignments. I said, great. We got to the airport, and he said, we're going to sit in the last row. I said, no, we do not want to sit in the last row. No. I said, on this airplane, the engines are in the back, hung on the tail. Our molars will be vibrating for a week. You do not want to sit back there. He said, no, for Jesus, we're going to sit in the last row. And I thought, don't start this for Jesus stuff. What is this about? And he said, we're going to get on last. I said, no, all the bin space will be gone. He said, do it for Jesus. Everybody gets on the plane. And he turns to me because the girl's saying, come on, you got to get on. He said, here, hold my little Bible. I took his Bible case. If I live to be 200, I won't forget what he did. He unbuttoned his coat. He unbuttoned his shirt, and he pulls his shirt back. And you know what he has on his T-shirt? I can tell you how to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. Is on his T-shirt. Now, I'm looking at that. And I'm thinking, sweet Alabama, what is this? We walk up by the gate agent, and she looks at him. She said, can I take a picture of that? He said, go right ahead. Then she turns to me, and she said, you with him? And I said, well, yeah, kind of, sort of. That preacher looked at me and he said, come on, Brother Gibbs, be bold. Now we walk down the ramp, we run into the flight attendants. He's showing them, and man, they're taking pictures. Now we're going down the aisle, and he's just one side to the other. And people are getting up, taking pictures like you can't imagine. And I'm watching all of this, and I'm thinking, wow, if I did this, we could put the whole Romans Road on here. We got plenty of space. I'm telling you, it took 10 minutes to walk down that aisle. Finally, we get to the back, he buttons up, we sit down, and before we buckle up, a flight attendant comes up and says, "Do not get off this plane until you talk to me. God sent you for me. Promise me you'll not get off this plane." That preacher said, "I promise." Now he turned to me and he said, "Pray, Brother Gibbs, God's working." Can I tell you what? When you get bold, God gets working. We took off and, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes later, the seatbelt sign came off. Immediately, 7 people got up and came back and said, "Can I talk to you?" You say, "Well, that's not my way." It's not mine either. But just what is your way? Before we got out of there, he led 6 people to Christ. Whoa. You want great grace? It comes with great praise, and it comes with boldness. Nothing can take its place. The fastest growing faith in America right now is Muslim. Can I remind you of a frightening statistic? For every 1 person we're winning to Christ, they're winning between 13 and 15 to their faith. How can that be? I'll tell you this, they're bold. Man, I've been in courtrooms and legislatures. We've been in Washington, D.C. And man, I mean, they're rolling their prayer carpets out. They're bold. Where are we? You want great grace, it comes with great praise, and it comes with great boldness. Write the 3rd and final thing down. You want great grace, it comes with prayer, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, don't confuse this. Acts 2 has already taken place. The Comforter has come. These were saved people. This was a church. But now the Holy Spirit has filled them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. How's your prayer life? I could not be more supportive of what Dr. Van Gelderen is doing with this prayer ministry. We're not going to change America till we change ourselves. And if the Lord tarries his coming another 30 years, and the kids come to you and to me, and they say, "Let me get this right. The America that got handed to you, you lost. And you don't have it to hand to us. Is that right?" And then they're going to ask, "What did you do about it?" Well, if we don't pray, we haven't done anything about it. Absolutely nothing. How many of you believe God's still in the prayer answering business? But he says, you got to ask. Now, I preached on doing the impossible this afternoon. Now, what I'm going to tell you is not in the Bible. Listen carefully. This is not in the scripture. Would be wonderful if it were, but it's not. Would be wonderful if the Bible said, as a child of God, you get 10 miracle asks. You can ask God for 10 absolutely impossible, miraculous things. Not 11, 10. Choose carefully. That's not in the Bible. Do you know what the number is in the Bible? It's unlimited. The only thing that hinders you getting it is you asking. What's on your impossible prayer list? Impossible. Whoa. A number of years ago, a man wrote a very nasty article about us. Horrible. All untrue. He never talked to us, but he wrote this nasty article, and then he sent it everywhere. And my friend started calling me saying, this isn't true, isn't it? I said, no, it's not true, but I got mad. How many of y'all have ever gotten ticked off? How many of y'all have ever gotten ticked off? Came out on a Friday, and boy, I was getting ready to go out of town, and I thought, I know what I'm going to do. Monday, I'm going to get all our lawyers back in here. I'm going to sue this guy once a day, every day, for 30 straight days. I'm going to put a new lawsuit across him. I'm going to make, you want to play word games? We'll play word games. And I felt wonderful about it. I got back into town on Monday, and I went in the office, and my secretary, Mrs. Block, was there. She's now with the Lord. And she said, Brother Gibbs, I saw that article. I said, yeah. She said, that's all untrue. I said, I know. She said, well, I know what you're going to do. I said, yep, I got it all figured out, Shirley. I'm going to sue him once a day, every day, for 30 straight days. I'm going to make him squeal, Uncle. We're going to win. She said, no, you're a Christian. You're going to bless him and do good to him and love him and pray for him, aren't you? Let me tell you what went through my mind. Absolutely. I said, Lord, right now, I do not need a Christian secretary. I just don't. And I really don't need one who knows the Bible. She said, Brother Gibbs, what you're going to do to him is worse than he did to you. She said, you're commanded to pray for your enemy and bless him and do good to him. How's your prayer life? She said, promise me you won't sue him. Promise me. I said, oh, Shirley. Okay. She said, well, I knew you'd want to tell him you love him and want to bless him and pray for him. So when I saw you pull up, I dialed him on the phone. And he's on the phone right now on line 5, and she hit line 5, hands it to me. And Shirley, she was from West Virginia, but she had a little of Italian. When she wanted you to do something, she'd say, talk to him, talk to him. And I looked at her and I said, leave me alone, leave me alone. She hands me the phone and says, tell him you love him and want to pray for him. I said, hello? That's all I said, hello. The guy cussed me out. Horrible. Horrible. And I'm holding the phone away and I'm saying, you hear that, Shirley? Let's go back to my idea. Let's spank him blue. She said, tell him you love him and you want to bless him and pray for him. Tell him. I said, I just called you to tell you I love you. He said, you don't mean that. And I thought, boy, have you got that right. I don't. Shirley looked at me and she said, mean it. And tell him you want to bless him and pray for him. I said, look, you're a bad guy. What you did was terrible, but I'm worse than you. What I was going to do to you was way worse than you did to me. But I ran into a godly lady like an Abigail, and she stopped me in my tracks. And I am going to pray for you, and I want to bless you. You ready to fix your prayer life? You ready to be what God's called you to be? You want great grace? It comes with great praise. And then it comes with great boldness. And then it comes with prayer. With prayer. I spoke this afternoon briefly about my mother. I close by telling you our bedroom, my sister's bedroom, and the bedroom I had were upstairs in our house. And the stairs came down, and the bedroom where my mom was at the bottom of the stairs. And 500 nights or more, I sat at the top of those stairs and listened to my mom pray for me all night. She was in so much agony, she couldn't hardly breathe. She'd be praying, and then I'd hear her go, help, help me, Jesus, I can't breathe, help me. And then she'd go back to praying. No idea that I was listening. There is nothing more powerful than prayer. Great grace. Your praise, your boldness, and your prayer. Now the question is, will we have great grace? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Hear the cry of our heart tonight. We don't want to leave this conference the same as we've come. We want to leave touched by the power of the very Spirit of God. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart tonight. I want great grace in my life like never before. My heart's been touched tonight. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold them high. If your hand's up in the air, I want you to get out of your seat and make your way to this altar. It's time to pray.